If you can open up to Chaf Hei Amid Beis, we're studying the Psulei Edus Derabanan, which is the subject of the Mishnah, and in addition to that list in the Mishnah, the Gemara quotes a Braisa here on the second of the wide lines on Chaf Hei Amid Beis. Tana Odo Sifu Aleim Haroim Agaboim Bamuchsim. And then finally the Gemara says Chamsonim. That's on the first of the wide lines. Do you have it? Chamsonim. Now there was a Habamin and a Maskana, meaning the declaration or the enactment on the part of the Chachamim that Chamsonim Apostle Yedus took place at a certain moment in time. And the question is, what happened? There was some change. I mean, all of a sudden the Chachamim got up and they decided Chamsonim Apostle Yedus. And who are these Chamsonim? Chamsonim, who are they? Yeah, that's what I'm asking. So the Gemara says, gives us just a little hint as to who these Chamsonim are. Meikara, originally, these people, whoever they are, we don't know who they are, but they were Ksherim. Why? Because Savur, they thought, and maybe the they here is referring to the Chachamim, that Dami Kayayiv, they're paying money. And therefore, ikroi bi'almahu, what they're doing is just an accident, so to speak. It's a coincidence of time, and it'll pass. And then, apparently later on, and history changed, this became a kind of repetitive, common misbehavior, misdemeanor. And then the Chacham said, this is getting out of hand, and we have to disqualify them. So we don't know who these Chamsonim are yet, but what we do know is that they're paying money. Okay.
So the Chamsonim are paying money.
The Chamsonim are paying money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the question, to whom? Because you see, the problem is that until now we were talking about Gazlonim. Gazlonim who steal, they don't pay for it. And they are possibly Edus Midoraisa. You don't need the Rabbanan to institute that. Chamsonim, since they pay for it, therefore they're not Gazlonim. Now, what happened in the stage two, as we call it, that the Rabbanan finally enacted a psul called Chamsonim? So if you look at the second of the wide lines, came into Chazu when the Chachamim realized the Kochatvi, that these people are grabbing, is Gazru Bei Rabbanan. The Rabbanan stood up and they made this decree and we can't accept them and they don't have a status of qualified aid. So let's look at Rashi. Dibra Maskel Kevin de Chazu de Chatfe, which is pretty much parallel in this case to the line of the Gemara. Kevin de Chazu, what the Rabbanan realized, de Chatfe, they grabbed it, Vishakle, and they took it, Klomar, the Afilu Dami Kayoiv, even though they are paying money, Asili De Gazlonus. It's so to speak on the brink of Gazlonus. Now, what's so close to Gazlonus? Klomar, Shayakosha Labailim Limkar. The owner of the object did not really want to part with his object. Imagine you own a precious object, or it has some antique, or some sentimental value. You're not eager to part with it. I don't know if you ever had the experience where somebody came over to you in a parking lot and they said, is your car for sale? You know, well, how much are you offering? You know, all of a sudden, you know, you decide maybe you'll sell this old jalopy. But in this case, the Bailam are not really interested in selling. Ubal karcham, against the will of the seller, chotfim, these chamsonim grab onto it, vizarkim amos lifnehem. They're not gazlonim. You know, chas v'shalom, I'm not a thief. I'm going to pay you for it, but I'm going to grab it whether you like it or not.
I take it. They don't even manipulate the guy to agree.
Correct. Well, that's going to be our subject for tonight. But it seems from Rashi, you're right, that Rashi gives you the impression, we'll see other Rishonim as we go along, that this guy never even agreed to sell. In fact, if you look a little earlier on the page, you see a Rashi about, say, 20 lines earlier, maybe Chamson, or 15 lines earlier, it's a short Rashi, Chamson Yoiv Dami, he pays the money, El She'ein Ratzon Abaylam Limkar. So sometimes I can make you an offer that you can't refuse. You know, I offer you double the price. Let's say you have an apartment and a flat, and I see it's on, you know, it's going to go up in value. So I come over to you and I say, I'll pay you twice the price, and you'll agree. And that's probably legitimate. But in this case, Ein Ritzona Bailam Limkar, they're not interested in selling. And Rashi goes out of his way to tell us that Chatfe means that the Chamsonim grab onto it, Vizarkim Amos Lifnehem. Now, keep in mind, as we all know, that the Torah says that a Rasha is not kosher liedus. And with that introduction, let's look at Tosus Divya Maskel Meikara. Tosus asks me, Tomar Velifsol Midoraisa, that these Chamsonim should be posel doraisa. Now, wait a second. If they pay the money, that's not gzela. So exactly what avera are they guilty of that would make them into a rasha? Says Tosus, the avar alav delo sachmot. Oh, it's locked over there. Okay. So I didn't want Alan to miss the punchline of the shiur, but the most important thing about the shiur is lo sachmot. Now, what is lo sachmot? Lo sachmot means that you don't want to sell something, but I want to get it from you, and I'm so eager to get it from you that I'll turn over the world in order to make sure that you will give it to me. Again, I'm not a thief. I'm going to pay you for it. So Tosus thinks that by cajoling a person, or in this case, grabbing it and throwing the money in his face, he violates lo sachmo, meaning he desires something. Now, if you're selling something on the market, and I desire to buy it, that's not a violation of lo sachmo. But if I see something that you have, and I have a tremendous desire to acquire it, and I'll be willing to pay you double the price, or to grab it from you and throw it in the money in your face, that's already a violation of lo sachmo.
We clap on the manipulation to try to get someone to do something I didn't want to do on Yom Kippur. It's one of the things that we clap on.
Is it lo sachmo for to get?
I don't know what it is.
Right. So if it's to get you to sell something or part with something and transfer the object over to me, that would be lo sachmo. So Tosus thinks if a person violates a law in the Torah, then he should be posliatus. I don't need the Rabbanon here to come along and institute a psul for someone who anyway violates the Doraisa. All the other cases that we had of psuliatus the Rabbanon, he didn't violate the Doraisa. He violated the Rabbanon. Like, let's say, for example, he sees a lost object, it's hefker, and a child picks it up. So he grabs it from the child. So that's called gezel derabanan. But here's a case where he violates a lav doraisa. Now we have to read the answer of Tosus. That's a little bit more challenging. Tosus says, v'yesh lomar, de lo sachmod mashma, the meaning of lo sachmod is de lo yohiv dami, that he doesn't pay money. If he pays the money, he doesn't violate lo sachmo. So on both sides, Tosus is saying that he only violates lo sachmo when he doesn't pay the money. What question should you ask? If he's not paying the money, that's gzela. I don't need lo sachmo for that. The Torah says if he doesn't pay money and he absconds with somebody's object, he's an outright thief. So this is a very difficult Tosus. I suspect, but again, I don't know if we'll find this, that what Tosus means when he says lo sachmod mashma, do you see that word mashma? I have a feeling in my bones, I don't know if anyone will support me, that the word mashma here means mashma lehu. Lehu means to those who violate this law. In other words, we're not talking about someone who is aware or is deliberate about his violation of Lo Sachmod. But mashma, when he reads Lo Sachmod, he thinks that I shall not covet your object and take it away from you. So in his mind, he justifies the fact that he covets your object, but he pays you for it. But if you ask me, al pi halacha, would he have violated Lo Sachmod even if he pays you? The answer is yes. But I don't know if that's true. I'm just throwing it out there. That's just the musings of a madman.
Okay. There's a difference between somebody who takes something and doesn't pay for it intentionally. But a lot of people buy something, they have good intentions, they think they're going to pay for it, and then all of a sudden something happens to them.
They forget about paying, or they can't pay, or something.
They can't pay, and it's really embarrassing.
So that might be onus or so. But my question for you tonight is, somebody who grabs onto somebody's object and throws the money in his face, is he in violation of Lo Sachmod? Tosis certainly thought he was in his Habamina. When he asked the question, he said, therefore, he should be puzzled or Raisa for violating Lo Sachmod. And Tosis says, no. Now, I don't know what he means by no. No means he did not violate Lo Sachmod because he threw him the money. Or Tosus means that he violated Lo Sachmod, but Peshoge. You know, he convinced himself. We like to always look in the mirror and say, oh, I'm a tzaddik. I'm a tzaddik. So I grabbed your beautiful, the gold point pen, you know, your ink pen, but I threw the money in your face. So I gave you a value.
But who said you wanted to sell it?
In all cases, nobody denies that he didn't want to sell it. That you missed here at the beginning, Brian.
Sorry. I
appreciate that he came in this weather, but you missed that 1 minute. You are a big tzaddik.
All these tzaddik
yeah.
around
and the one person who...
You missed the tzaddik from office.
Right, the wives, that's the tzaddik. The one person who, by the way, cancelled on me tonight, notified me already in advance, had nothing to do with the weather, that he couldn't come. All right.
By the way, if somebody persuades somebody to give him something, he sees he's got something on his mantelpiece, says, give it to me. And the guy says, I don't want it. He says, please give it to me. And he eventually persuades him to give him. Is that gazela or Lo Sachmod?
Certainly not gazela. No, that for sure not. The question is, does he violate Lo Sachmod?
So he didn't pay him, but the guy gave it to him.
Right. So in such a case...
The guy says, leave it, don't take it.
You know where you want to find the matzah, Alan? Look at the Aron Kodesh. Yeah. And move the paroches, and there's a closet below the Aron Kodesh, meaning below where the Sefer Torah is.
That one there?
Oh, there's a matzah here. Oh, look at that.
Oh. How did you do that?
That was a magical trick. So, Yonatan, I would say in your case,
he might not giving money.
Right. The question is, in your case, whether he gave the money or didn't give the money, it's the same. Why? Because ultimately the person, you know, he collapsed from the pressure on him and he transferred the object to you, kedasu kedin. So I would say in that case, whether or not he violates Lo Sachmod would depend upon how to read that word mashma. I don't know if mashma means al pi emes, that's what it really means. Mashma means that's Tosis Mechadish in his answer, that there is no Lo Sachmod. I have trouble with that because if Lo Sachmod only applies when he took it without paying money, that's Lo Sigzol. Mm-hmm. Or maybe mashma here means that in the mind of the grabber, you know, the one who took it, he thinks he didn't violate Lo Sachmod, but in truth he did violate Lo Sachmod. And perhaps even in your case, Yonatan, he violates Lo Sachmod. So we're going to try to answer these questions as we go along. We're going to be studying tonight the Rambam, and we'll look at the Ravid, and then we'll come back to this Tosfos, and we'll see what pieces of the puzzle could fit together. Now, I have to be honest with you, I need you for 2 hours tonight. So if your wives are already tzidkanios, just give them a little buzz that you're staying until the wee hours of the morning here. But I was very I was very optimistic. I gave you 4 pages here. We're lucky if we get by 2 pages, but I always like to know that, you know, that we can see how magnificently complex the sugya really is. Okay. So let's turn now to page Lamed Gimel. And on the bottom of page Lamed Beis, he mentions the Tosis which we just learned. And he mentions now a machlokus between Abai and Rava that's going to appear on Daf Chav Zayin. So we're on Chav Hey. He's like fast forwarding by two blot. Now I'm going to just summarize the Shita of Abaye. And even though you'll ask me, don't we always possibly like Rava? But this is one of the six exceptions to the rule, right here in Sanhedrin Chav Zayin, that we possibly like Abaye against Rava. So basically what Abaye says is that anyone who violates the Torah in a deliberate way, not that he, you know, he never learned the laws, but he knows about the laws, is posuliedus. He's called a Rasha. So imagine the following scenario. You put two pieces of meat in front of him. One is kosher, one is treif. And you tell him you're going to charge him the same amount for both, which is almost impossible, but let's, you know, just theoretically. And he decides to eat the treif piece of meat. Abai says he's posuliedus. Why? He's a Rasha. He deliberately chose the treif piece of meat at no loss to his pocket. You know, instead he could have eaten the kosher meat.
Chamasnu.
Excellent. So that's our Gemara. Oh, really? Now again, if he has the article...
We have extorted.
Oh, extorted. Okay. But is this... this is what... he says he took advantage of the poor... this is good. He says he intimidates a person to sell something against his will. Okay, that's again allows for a lot of different interpretation, but that's the basic definition. Okay. So Abai says that anyone who violates a law in the Torah, like for example eats the veil in the case I gave you before, he's posuliedus. He's called a Rasha. Rava says, wait a minute. The Pasuk says, Rasha de Chamas. The Torah adds another word. And Chamas means for the sake of money. So we're not talking about a person who deliberately, you know, flagrantly violates the Torah. Maybe we could trust him in a court of law. I don't know. But Rava says that what the Torah is talking about is a Rasha for the love of money. For example, if he would like to eat kosher meat, but he knows he's going to pay double the price, so he buys treif of meat in order to save himself that money. Such a person, Rava says, is what the Torah had in mind as a Rosh who's posuliedus, because the Torah had the word chamas, and it means that for the love of money, this guy can be bought off, and he'll perjure himself in a court of law. The Rambam paskins like Abaye, because the Gemara says that this is one of the exceptions to the rule. And therefore, the Rambam paskins in Perek Yud Mehilchas Eidus, I'm not going to read every word inside, hopefully you can follow me with your eye. If I lose you, just stop me and I'll point out where I'm summarizing from. And the Rambam says that the Pasuk says, Al Toshes Yodcha Im Rasha, and Rasha means anyone who violates a lotas, a kol sha'avar avera. Now, here's where you want to underline three words in the Rambam that are going to occupy our minds. And that is, in the paragraph of Hine, the first paragraph of Hine on this page, on line 4, the words, Shechayovin Aleha Malkos. Can you underline those words? Because the Rambam says that you can create a hierarchy of lavim in the Torah. The lav that we're talking about that makes you into Rasha is the lav for which you get Malkus. There's a lower case lav, but that doesn't generate Malkus. For example, a lav she'ein bo maaseh. Let's say there are certain lavim that you violate without an action. So the Rambam will classify that as a lower level lav. It's less severe than a lav she'esh bo Malkus. And therefore, that would not generate a psul Rasha. Now again, if we had more time, we would try to research the sources of the Rambam. Where did the Rambam know this from? How did he get this? But let's accept it right now as a fact on the ground. According to the Rambam, which lav would generate a shame Rasha? Only a Rasha and a posuliedus, only a lav sheyesh bo Malkus. Okay, fine. So the Rambam accepted the sheet of Abaye, and if he violates a lav sheish bal malchus, then he will be posel yedus. Now, let's get to the case of lo sachmod. The Torah says thou shalt not covet. Would you get malchus for such a thing? What would you say?
Ein bo maase.
Oh, it might be a lav sheish bal maase. Or do we say maybe it is a lav sheish bal maase because he finally takes the object, and the taking of the object is a maase. But you can hear the suffix of
the object, you've done nothing.
What do you say?
Until you can cover it, I can say, listen, I'm not that dead, I really do. And until I take it,
I don't violate the lav. So if taking it is the critical element in violating the lav, then it becomes a lav sheish bal maase. Okay, but again, I'm just throwing it out there. Now, Tosfos in his kasha says that by violating lo sachmo, this chamson is posliyedus doraisa. You remember Tosfos kasha. Now let's assume for the time being that Tosfos would accept the Rambam that only a lav sheish bo malchus would generate a psul rosha on a doraisa level. And yet Tosfos insists that lo sachmod would generate a psul rosha doraisa. So therefore, what conclusion would I have to have if I were to assume, again this is very iffy, that Tosfos would embrace the sheet of the Rambam that not every lav makes you into a rosha, you need malchus, then what must Tosfos be assuming about lo sachmod? That you get malchus. Again, this is all iffy, I have no proof. Now, in this particular paragraph, again, we'll see later about the Ravid, the premise is that in the case of Lo Sachmod, you don't get Malchus. Meaning that Lo Sachmod, as you said before, Alan, is a Lav She'ein Bo Maase. And if that be the case, if we assume that you don't get Malchus in the case of Lo Sachmod, Ma Hikshu Atosfos, what are Tosfos asking? But rather we think that Tosfos disagrees with the Rambam, and he holds that any violation of a lotas in the Torah, whether it does generate Malchus or it doesn't, ipso facto it makes you into a Rasha.
So Tosfos don't qualify Abaye. They will take Abaye.
Right. We don't, again, as I said before, we don't have time, we don't know exactly where the Rambam is coming from. Where did he get this? The Gemara never says a word about what kind of a lav makes you into a Rasha. Abai just says, you know, if you eat Nevela, you're a Rasha. Okay, a Nevela is the case where you get Malchus, but did Abai say that it has to be a lav sheish bo Malchus? That was the Rambam's chiddush. So now we're suggesting that Tosfos disagrees with the Rambam, and maintains that any lav, no matter what the lotasa is, if you violate it deliberately, then you're posliyedus. Even if it doesn't give malchus, and the nafkamina between the Rambam and Tosfos is going to be the case of los sachmod. The Rambam is going to hold that if you violate los sachmod, you're not posliyedus doraisa. And Tosfos will hold that if you violate los sachmod as a lav doraisa, you are posel, despite the fact that you don't get malchus. Now, what's the advantage of the Rambam here in our sugya? Right, our sugya says chamsonim is what kind of a psul? Is it doraisa derabonon? No, so you missed the whole point. Maybe Alan, you weren't here when we started the shir. I don't know. Again, the opening line of the shir is that we're talking tonight about psulei edus derabonon. That's the opening line of the shir, and on that list is chamsonim. And Tosfos is bothered. Why does the Gemara put Chamsonim on the list of... And the Gemara goes back and forth. Originally the Rabbanan said that they were Kosheliedus because they paid Domin, and at the end they grab, and this and that, and therefore they passel them. It's all the Rabbanan. Says Tosfos, what do I need the Rabbanan here? Chamsonim should be included on the Psul Eidus Doraisa because he's a Rosha, because he violates what? Lo Sachmod. There's no Malchus for Lo Sachmod. Man is not. Tosfos thinks that anytime you violate a law in the Torah deliberately, you are considered a Rosh and you're possibly Eidus with Malchus or without Malchus. The Rambam has the upper hand now. What's the advantage of the Rambam here if I hold that Lo Sachma would not generate a Psul Eidus?
Well,
because there's no malchus. What's the advantage of the Rambam? Now it's sugya. Now I understand what? Where am I losing you? Again, I'm going to try this once more. I don't know where I lost you. To me, this is like simple logic. You know, it's not postdoc logic over here. The Gemara says that Chamsun is posel yedus. Everybody, mid rabbanon. Please hold on to that. Otherwise, the whole shiur is just a waste of time, and I'm killing myself for nothing. So Tosa says, I don't understand the Gemara. He violates those sachmud, therefore he should be posel mid oraisa. Where does the Rambam fit in over here? What would the Rambam say to Tosfos? Why did the Gemara Sfek Tosfos say that the psul of Chamsun is the Rabbanon? He violates Lo Sachmon. What would the Rambam answer to that question? Help me out here, Rabosai. That correct, Ein Bo Masa, or again, I don't know if we have to go that far and get into the nitty gritties, but Ein Bo Malchus. That's what I want to say. So Tosfos' kasha doesn't get off the ground according to Rambam. Do you see where the Rambam is so smooth in our Gemara? Yeah, he violates those sachmon. For sure, a chamsun violates those sachmon. But that's a lav shembo malchus. And if there's no malchus, he doesn't become a rosh.
Say, but that wasn't Tosfos' question. Tosfos was saying it's a deraisa.
But the Rambam would say it's not deraisa. Tosfos' question is, why did the Gemara have to say he's posel midrabbanon? He's posel d'oraisa. The Rambam saying he's not posel d'oraisa. He's only posel d'rabbanon. Because the Rambam holds lo sachmon doesn't generate malchus. Are you following me?
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know, where did I lose you here? The logic is so compelling over here.
The Rambam can't argue that lo sachmon is d'oraisa.
What do you mean lo sachmon is not d'oraisa? It's in the Aseres HaDibros.
Yes, exactly.
It's in the Decalogue. Yeah, you're telling me that lo sachmon is not d'oraisa?
So what is the Rambam arguing with Tosfos?
The Rambam is saying that there's no psul edus d'oraisa for a person who violates lo sachmon because there's no malchus for this law. Should I write it out for you? In logical, what they call symbolic logical symbols, you know, on the blackboard. Again, whoever violates a lav is a rasha and he's possibly edus d'oraisa. The Rambam says it's not every lav. It's only a lav that you get malchus. Lo sachmod is not a lav that generates malchus. Therefore, a person who violates lo sachmod is not possibly edus. Now I understand the Gemara. The Gemara says he's possibly the Rabbanon. The Gemara goes back and forth. Why did the Rabbanon enact it? What did they think? What did they conclude? So Tos comes along. He doesn't understand. This guy's a no good Rosh. He's possibly edus d'oraisa because he violated lo sachmod. I is no malchus. Tos has never heard of this business about malchus. Any violation of a lav generates a psul d'oraisa of Russia. Okay, is that good? Are we on the same slate over here? Okay. You should know, I just saw a physician today, and she's an ENT person. I told her that I'm having trouble with my voice lately, so she said I must get a microphone. So I said to give my classes, because I'm not controlling my voice level. So I said to myself in my mind, come on, I don't need a microphone. But now I realize I really do.
Yeah.
I'm losing my voice. As we speak, I'm losing my voice. Okay. If you find it, you can be Mekayim the Mitzvah Shavas Aveda. Now, the Rambam in Hilchos Gzeilah. Till now we've been studying the Rambam in Hilchos Eidus. Now we're looking at the Rambam in Hilchos Gzeilah. And the Rambam says, what is lo sachmod? Again, this is the main question of the night. What is lo sachmod? Says the Rambam, kol hachomed avdo o amoso o beso, right? You pass somebody's house, he's got a beautiful mansion, you want to buy it, you have chemda. Oh, here's your case. Yonatan, are you with me?
Okay.
Vehichbid ola bereim. You know, he does some research. He finds out that this rich, you know, mafioso guy has a number of friends. He tracks down his friends. You know, I don't know if you can do this on Google, and he finds out who his best friends is, and he hires them to lahaftirbo to what's the word in English, to persuade him or to cajole him ad shalokho mimen, until finally he takes it away from him. Now, what does it mean? What did he steal it from him? Says the Rambam, no, he didn't steal it from him. That would be gzela. He gave him an offer he couldn't refuse. He put a whole bunch of rands on the table, and it had to reach Shemayim to be worth anything. Is a reza over below sasa? He violates a law in the Torah. Shenemar lo sachmod. And if I remember correctly, if my memory doesn't fail me, I think it's the last of the Decalogue. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. To make sure that we all have the same Aseres HaDibros, right? Whenever I give class in the Beis Medrash, and I mention the Aseres HaDibros, I have this classic joke, they know it already. I turn around, in the Aseres HaDibros, we don't have the Aseres HaDibros. And I'm always hinting that when we get the money, we should buy the Aseres HaDibros. Where I came from in my childhood, there was no such thing as a synagogue that didn't have the Aseres HaDibros or something. Anyway, so he says the following, V'ein lokin alav zeh. Oh, so Yonatan, you said that you knew the secret. You knew all the secrets. Mipnesha ein bo masa. Okay, let's underline those words. Mipnesha ein bo masa. So again, the Rambam opens up this halacha by saying kol achomed, etc. But then achahiv tzirbo. And then he says, "Achalok homi man." So I don't know. I mean, the Rambam is saying "ein bo masa." It sounds like the Rambam is saying that although he doesn't violate the lav until finally hiftzir bo achalok homi manu, but the violation of the lav is the chemdes halev. That you understand what I mean? If the chemdes halev is so intense that it brings him to cajole the guy until finally he sells it and he pays him, so forth and so on. Then he violates the law, but what is the law, essentially? If you have to identify it, it's the chemdas halev.
Mm-hmm. So if I see someone that a friend likes and I go to a shop and I buy the exact same things.
No, there the seller is interested in selling it to you. Yeah, chemdas halev is when you see someone who has something that you think is unique, you desire it, you covet it, you want it, and you cajole him this way and that way. Rami even gives you a recipe, find some of his rayim, his good friends, and at the end of the day, you buy it from him. Now, did he agree to sell it? I don't know. The Rambam doesn't tell me. But you gave him damim rabim. Even the Rambam is very... In such a case, you see that his chemdas halev brought him to the ultimate point in which he was able to somehow victoriously come out and get the object. It's a lav shem bo maisi, doesn't get malchus. Be'eno over belav ze ad sheyikach hachefet shechamad. If
that's
what Brian said. You have many people who see, they covet, and they love. We're going to see later on, not tonight, that you violate a different lahav in your case, and that's called losis ave. That's a different lahav. But losachmod is only if you take it from him.
So it's a condition, but it's not my sin. The
correct, that's what I'm saying. In Londonshire terms, I don't know if you're familiar with the terminology, Binyamin, we say it's a shiurin in chemda. The shiurin in chemda is that you have such a chemda that we can measure your chemda. You know, you remember that in the circus, what's it called? Not circus. What do you call it when you where they have all the contests and you shoot the ball in and you get prizes? What's it called? A fair, I don't know what you call it. What?
A fun fair.
So you remember where you know those things where you have to hit it with a hammer and then the red thing goes all the way up to the top, you know, so you know what I'm talking about? So you want to know how intense is his chemda? At what point is his chemda, you know, controlling him so that he violates Lo Sachmon? So the answer is I can measure it by the fact that he ultimately bought the object. Now, did he buy it legally? I don't know.
I come along to you, Rabbi, and you've got an institution, all right? And it's wonderful. And I need it so bad because I get jealous of everybody's institution, all right? And I come along to you and I say, I will make sure that you never have to work again. And you make it so... And you take away the institution, the love of your life. That is a masa. You've done it by using your money as a...
So wait a second, Brian. Hold it. Ubasogas Avram, Haravid. Omar Avram, this is the Ravid speaking.
Yeah.
Lora Isi Dover Tema Godel Mizeh. I can't understand this Rambam. Imagine lo ra'isi davar tema gadol mizeh. The Raven in a thousand places disagrees with the Rambam, but he never uses this language. I never saw a more difficult Rambam in my life. Hechan ma'ase gadol minatilas ha'chefetz. The Rambam is saying that you only violate the law when you take the object. That's not considered a masa. Now, let me ask you, I'm going to stop the Ravid mid-sentence. What would you say, I'm just testing you, according to the Ravid, if a person has the schemda and then he gets this and he cajoles him until finally he takes the object, would he get Malchus?
Yes.
You should say yes. But the truth is he doesn't get Malchus for a totally different reason. In other words, watch this. The Ravid is going to come to the final halachic conclusion that's identical with the Rambam, that you don't get Malchus for Lo Sachem for an entirely different reason. Not because it's Ein Bo Maisa. Lo Ra'isi Maisa Gol Misa. He takes the object. That's a Maisa. Aval Hoyel Olomar, what the Rambam should have said, says the Rambam, is he doesn't get Malchus Mipneshu Chayav B'Tashlumin. Now, I'm going to ask you a question and I'll see if I can trip you up on this. Does a Gazlan get Malchus?
Yes.
Where everybody should say, does a Gazlan get Malchus? Yeah, of sure he should get Malchus. 39, we should flash it. We should hit him 50 times. A Gazlan doesn't get Malchus.
No?
No. Why not? Because that's called a Lav HaNitan L'Tashlum. What does it mean? The Torah says Lo Sigzol, and then the Torah says V'Heshiv V'Sagzela Asher Gaza, which means that if the object is still intact, he has to return the object to its rightful owner. If the object is lost, he has to pay its value.
Wow, so that's it.
So now the Torah says pay its value. Says the Ravid, if I cajole you until the point in which I give you the money and I take the object, then the Torah says I have to return that object to you. And if I don't have the object, I have to return that dung. So now I ask you the following question. According to the Ravid, was this sale legitimate?
Yes.
I don't know. If the Ravid is saying, if the Ravid is saying that I have to return the object, I don't know. Is that a legitimate sale? He says, "Gam zeh chayev like a gazlan is chayev lahoshiv as achefetz lebailov, and therefore it has the same status as gzela. Just like you don't get malchus for gzela, because the Torah says you chayev to return the object. So too, the case of a lo sachmo guy, he has to return the object. So we have now machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam holds that you don't get Malchus on the Lav Lo Sachem because it's a Lav Shein Bo Maisa. The Ravid holds you don't get Malchus for a different reason, because you're Chayv in Tashlumin Kegazlan. Now let's go back to the Rambam and Hilchus Eidus. You see, we're going back and forth.
According to the Ravid, you can get Malchus for not doing anything, for refusing to return it.
Well, what would the Ravid say if you refuse to return the object?
You say, I'm sorry, I've lost it.
If you lost it, then you have to pay for it. But let's say you refuse under the coercion of the law. I'm not going to return the object. Yes. I have it stashed away. I'm not returning.
He's not doing anything, but he's going to get Malchus for it.
Could be that in that case he'll get Malchus. But for that we have to know a sugya called bitlo velo kimo velo kimo. I don't know if you ever learned that sugya. Okay. But let's just, you know what, I'm just afraid we're going to jump ahead of ourselves. What does the Rambam say in Hilchus Eidus?
You can only be Eidla Arasha if it's you get Malchus.
Correct. But what else does the Rambam say? The Rambam says, Yesh Rishoyim Shem Psulim Li Eidus Afal Pi Shehem B'nei Tashlumin V'yeno B'nei Malchus Hoil V'lokhim Mamon She'eno Shalahem. If they take money which is not theirs, what would be a classical case? Forget about Lo Sachmon for a moment. Of someone who takes your Mamon and it's not yours. You have no right to take it. He takes it and it's not... Right? Maybe I mixed up. Sorry. Did you hear the case? What is the Rambam referring to? Someone who takes mamon that's not his. What's that called?
Gzela.
That's gzela. The Rambam says that a gazlan is posuliedus midoraisa, even though he violated a law sheyesh bo tashlumin, and he doesn't get malchus. So even the Rambam opens the door for the possibility that you could have a law that generates a psul daoraisa of edus under the law of Russia, even though you don't get malchus. Says Rambam, why? Because the Torah says, "Ki yakum ein chamas beish." Chamas means that he steals for the sake of love of money. Such a person, says the Rambam, is posel yedus d'oraisa from the moment that he takes something that's not his, even though he will not get malchus. So therefore the Rambam holds that a gazlan will be posel yedus d'oraisa even though he violates a lav she'eino mechayev malchus. And why isn't it mechayev malchus? Because a lav anitan l'tashlumen, the Torah says, give back the object. And it's a very shame of malchus, but yet he is posel yedus. Why is he posel yedus? Not because he violated an avera sheish bo malchus, he did not violate an avera sheish bo malchus, but because the Rambam has this category called a rasha de chamas, because he's interested in stealing people's money, and that makes him posel yedus. Okay. Now, the Ravid says that in the case of losachmod, he has to return the object. What does that sound like to you, Rav Osai? No, I'm asking, we had a question before. Yonatan, you raised this question. Did the mocher, at the end of the day, after all the cajoling and all the pressure and all the money that he offered him, I make you an offer you can't refuse, bless you. Did finally the mocher agree to the sale? No.
Yes, he did.
But
if he did, then the sale is valid.
Yeah, but he has to return it. It's not valid.
Why does he have to return it? Obviously, if the Ravid says he has to return it, then it's not a valid sale. Again, you could tell me that I violated losachmo because I desired your object and I cajoled you and I this you and I that you and I pressured you. But if at the end of the day you agreed to sell it to me, the Ravid would have no argument here that this is a lav sheish bo tashlumin and he has to return the object. What do you mean return the object? The guy agreed to sell it.
There's agreement and there's agreement. I mean, he's agreeing because he just wants to get.
So if you, again, Yonatan, only because there's so much on the agenda today, I said 2 hours, I really meant 6 hours. If you take a look at the paragraph that starts Vehine, which is the last paragraph on your page, Haravitcham, Hisigal Rambam, Velo Omar Rotzani. Now, what was bothering the Rambam? What was bothering the Rambam about the fact that? Well, I'm sorry. What was bothering the Ravid about Lo Omar Rotzani? So you know, the super commentary is the Magid Mishnah, and the Magid Mishnah says that the Ravid holds that if he would have said Rotzani, Hareza Mekach Kayam, which would mean that he doesn't have to return the object. And the Ravid has a proof for this, says the Magid Mishnah. There's a Gemara in Masechta Bava Basra that says if you put a gun to someone's head and you say, sell me this, or you know what, if he says Rotzani, those are the two magical words, then the sale is valid.
Isn't that case in Kitchen?
Maybe it's in Gittin as well. I mean, I know it from Baba Basra.
Somebody up until he says Rotzani.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're talking about we're talking about a sale. No, but you're talking about a get.
But then we're saying he agrees that he wants to.
Well, but again, leave out get for a moment, because get works with its own rules. I'm talking about a case of sale. I can force you to sell something at gunpoint, if at the end of the day, Rotzani, because, you know, your money or your life, you'd rather have your life, then the sale is valid. Says the Ravid, in the case of Losachmod, he cajoles him, but at the end of the day, the guy agrees, then the sale is valid. That's not lo sachmod. Lo sachmod, according to the Ravid, means that he never agreed to the sale. Again, you didn't violate lo sigzel because you threw him the money. And you paid the full price, or maybe even more than the full price. So it's not gzela. But it's a lavalo sachmod, and you have to return the object because the sale is not valid, because he never said those two magic words of rotzani. The Rambam holds that even if he says rotzani, and even if the sale is valid, he still violates the law. And we begin to understand now that the Ravid holds that the lav alo sachmod is a lav anitan l'tashlumin, because the Torah, like in the case of Gzela, says you have to return the object because the sale was never valid. He never said rotzani. But if he would have said rotzani and the sale was valid, then that's not a case of a lav anitan l'tashlumin. The Rambam holds that lo sachmod is a lav sheyesh bo mai, is right, according to the Rambam, lo sachmod is a lav shein bo maisa. And why is that? Because mipnei shelo choshev gazlon veleka olav chiyuv tashlumin vashova vaisa lo sachmod avi al shtadlus asher shtadil kedei l'ratzoso. Just one second. So again, the Ravid accuses the Rambam of omitting the fact that Lo Omar Rotzani. Just one second. Wait, just give me a minute to collect. So again, the Ravid says that he never agreed to the sale. Okay, the Ravid says that he never agreed to the sale. Varamam Sover. Oh. Sha'af al pi. Sha'omar rotzani. Umekho kayam. But since he did all this ishtadlus to get to the point where the mocher agrees to the sale, therefore he violates lo sachmod. Because, again, he's chayav for what? For the chemdas halev. We just have to have a shear in Chemdas HaLev that it got to the point where he successfully got the guy to sell it to him. The sale itself is valid. And the Ravid holds that the Isolo Sachmod is a Lavshe Yeshbo Maisa because he took the Chafetz and the Mocher never said Rotzani. Again, this is Mamish Gzela except for one thing. He puts the money down on the table. Otherwise, it's identical to Gzela. And the Ravid holds that if he would say Rotzani and the Mekach is Kayam and there's no Gzela, so then I think, if I read this correctly, he would not violate Lo Sachmod. Again, it's a Lav Sheish Bo Maisa according to the, yeah, because according to the Ravid, what happened here, he took the object. And the taking of the object is itself the avera, and therefore it's a lav sheish bo maisa. Correct? That's the Ravid sheet. Is everybody with me on that? Again, according to the Ravid, the lav of lo sachmod is a lav sheish bo maisa. Why? Because he took the object. What's the avera of taking the object? The answer is the guy never agreed to sell it, according to the Ravid. If he never agreed to sell it, then you're taking his property. He's mamash a gazlan.
But he paid for it, no?
Oh, but since he paid for it, he doesn't violate the Isur of Gzela. But just like in the case of a gazlan who doesn't get malchus because the Torah says return the object, so too in the case of a lo sachmod case, according to the Ravid, if he didn't say rotzani and the sale is not valid, he has to return the object. So that it's a lav, but yet he can rectify the lav by returning the object, and if he doesn't get malchus. The Rambam, on the other hand, holds that it's a lav she'ein bo maisa. Of course, according to the Rambam, he violates the lav through chemdas halev. But even though at the end of the day the mocher agreed to what? To the sale, but still he violates the law of chemda. And if it's a lav of chemda, then it's a lav shein bo mais. It's all in the heart.
Okay, so Rotserni is a nafkamina between Ram and Ravid. When he says Rotserni, that's nafkamina?
According to the Rambam, since even though he says the, no, I think, wait a minute, you're right, but 1 second, what if he doesn't say Rotsani? So if he doesn't say Rotsani, so the Ravid says that he violates Lo Sachmot, and he doesn't get Malkus because he's chayav to return the object, the sale is not valid. Now, what's the Ravid going to say in a case where he says Rotsani? So it would seem to me, at this point, unless you know better than me, Binyamin, which is possible, that according to the Ravid, if he says Rotsani, that's not a violation of Chemda, because then the sale is valid. According to the Ravid, the Iser of Lo Sachmon is not the Chemda Salev, but the Lekicha Sachefetz. And he gets Malchus for the Maisa Lekicha. And he had no right to take the object, even though he pays the money. Because the mocher never agreed to the sale. So the first nafkamina between the Ravid and the Rambam is going to be in the case where he says Rotsani. Now, what about in a case where he does not say Rotsani? So according to the Ravid, that's exactly what Lo Sachmon is all about. What would the Rambam say if he doesn't say Rotsani? So the sale is not valid. So then I don't think he violates Lo Sachmod. So there's a twofold machlokas. The Ravid would say he violates Lo Sachmod when he doesn't say Rotsani. And the Rambam says he violates Lo Sachmod when he says Rotsani. The Rambam could not possibly classify Lo Sachmod as a Lav Sheish Bo Maisa. Why not? Because the Mocher agreed to the sale. If the Mocher agreed to the sale, then when the Lo Sachmo Jew takes the object, there's nothing objectionable.
Yeah, but he took it under duress.
It doesn't matter. Even if he takes it under duress, the sale is valid. According to the Rambam. Just 1 second. What case are we talking about? Are we talking about a case where he says Rotsani or he doesn't say Rotsani? Let's just not try not to get confused. He said Rotsani. Yes, Brian, let's go slowly. He said Rotsani. The Rambam says he violates the lav. Yeah. Where is the lav? In taking the object? It can't be in taking the object because the sale is valid. Therefore, the Rambam says it could only be because of the chemdas halev, which makes it into what kind of a lav? A lav shein bo maisa. The Ravid, on the other hand, says that he never said Rotsani, he never agreed to the sale. The sale is not valid, and therefore the Lekichas HaChefetz is itself the Avera. You have no right to take his object. There's no valid sale. He never said Rotsani. So the Ravid would call it a Lavshe Yesh Bo Maisa, but says the Ravid he doesn't get Malkus because he has to return the object. Because since the Mocher never agreed to the sale is not valid. You're a gazlan if you don't give it back to him. Again, technically, he doesn't violate the lav lo sigzol because he paid the money, but he violates lo sachmod. In other words, according to the Ravid, lo sachmod is a mirror image of lo sigzol with one difference. In lo sigzol, he never gave him the money, and in lo sachmod, he gave him the money. But other than that, they're identical. And in both cases, a lav sheish bo maisa, but there's no malchus because the tashlumin, the Torah says he has to rectify the lav by returning the object. That's the Ravid sheet in Lo Sachmon. The Rambam sheet is totally different. According to the Rambam, Lo Sachmon is a case where the mocher agreed to the sale. You can't call it a lav sheish bo maisa because the sale is valid. So when he takes the object, he's taking that which is his because the mocher agreed to the sale. And when a mocher agrees to the sale, even under compulsion, the sale is valid. Says the Rambam, the lav here is because of the chemda. A chemda that is so intense that it finally led to the point where he cajoled the guy, and he pressured the guy, and he was able to get the guy to say, Rotsani, and the sale is valid. That's chemda salev. Then he violates chemda. It's a lav shein bo maisa. I'm sorry. According to, yeah. I was right. It's a lav shein bo maisa. Okay. Did I lose you?
No.
I can repeat it over and over again, just that...
I lose your voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand that. Do you understand it?
There's a few gaps, the holes in my understanding, but it's...
It's just a different way of looking at it.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm saying the Rav and the Raiva are so different. It's not just a different way of looking at it. They're fundamentally different. I mean, the Rambam is going to say you violate Lo Sacha because the sale is valid. Because once the sale is valid, then your chemda... You know what the word chemda means? I don't have to translate the word chemda, do I? Okay, good. I mean, up the block here, there's a place called Eretz Chemda. They pronounce it a little differently. Chemda, okay? So whatever way you pronounce it, it's Chemda Salev. So the Rambam holds it's Chemda Salev. How do I know that his Chemda Salev was absolutely impeccable? It was the greatest Chemda, the most intense Chemda that you can imagine? Because at the end, he was able to purchase the object. You would have said, there's no way this guy will agree to sell the object. No way. It's an heirloom from his Alta Baba. He's not going to part with it. Well, this guy has such a chemda, he's going to eventually make sure that the guy is willing to part with it.
He will dream it up for 24 hours a day, to be on his head.
He'll continue to badger him and he'll offer him all the money in the world. That's chemda salev. But how do I measure the chemda salev if at the end of the day he was successful? Memela, according to the Rambam's understanding of Lo Sachmon, we have two conclusions to derive. Number one, the lav is a lav she'ein bo maisa because it's chemdas halev. Number two, it's a lav she'eino nitan l'tashlumin. Why? Because the sale is valid. He said rotzani. The Ravid shifts the entire emphasis from soup to nuts of Lo Sachmon. It's not chemdas halev. It's taking someone's object. It's really gzela. There was never a valid sale. The guy never said rotzani. You'll ask me, why is it gzela? Because he shoves him the money and throws it down his throat. Says the Ravid, Lo Sachmod is a lav sheyesh bo maisa, because the taking of the object is a maisa, but there's no malchus because it's a lav anitan l'tashlumin. The Rambam holds it's not a lav anitan l'tashlumin because the Rambam is describing a situation where the mocher eventually kalei, you know, he capitulated and he said rotzani, so the sale is valid. You don't have to give back the object. Just like in the case in Gittin or in Bava Basra, where the Gemara says, Tol Yuv Zavin Zvini Zvini, and you don't have to return the object because the sale is valid, he said rotzani. But the Rambam holds, he violates the lav with Chemdas Halev.
I'm sorry, how came the point in that we said there's a separate category in the Rambam that he says about Hamas? How does that come in?
Oh, so what would that do for us here? So let's just see. That's the paragraph that starts Ulam, which I skipped for the moment. Let's go back to that. He quotes the Tumim, who says that there are different classifications of Lavim. So he wants to say that a Lav Hanitakli essay really does generate Malkus. In Ken Yesh Lomid, the Tosus Rilei Katumim, Techasha Ovar Lav Hanitakli essay is Mikri Rasha. Sha'over averi sheyesh bo malchus uposel me'ator mitam rosha she'ena shel chamas. So let's see if we can understand this approach to Tosus based on the Tumim, that is a psul rosha doraisa, even though it's a lava nitakli esse usvilei karayvid de lo sachu mikri lav sheyesh bo maisa. Oh, so therefore, according to this stream of thought, he should be possibly a store rice, and that's the Tosus' premise in his Kasha, Dira Maskel Meikara. Now, how does this connect to the previous paragraph, Binyamin, you're asking, where the Rambam has this category of Psul Doraisa in Gazlan, so really Gazlan, Afal Pishavi Avira Shemikoma Kamen Delot Tahavi Lava Nitan Litashlumin is Mikri Avira Shein Bo Malkus Vien Leposlo Mipnei Shaover Avira Sheyesh Bo Malkus. And the Rambam is forced to introduce a new category called Eid Chamas. So you're asking, what does that have to do with this paragraph about the Tumim? that if Tosus accepts the Raivid that Lo Sachmod is a lav sheyesh ba ma'isa, but there's no makas because it's nitan l'tashlumin, and the Tumim says nitan l'tashlumin is enough for Rasha, so therefore Tosus says kash. I'm not sure why he needs that that Rambam. I'm not sure about. Okay, how are we doing on the clock? Do we have a few more minutes? Not much, right? So the door is open, Rabbosai. So hopefully when the Olam needs us, if they need us for Ma'ariv, we'll get the word. Let's just push the envelope another 2 minutes, if we can. And we're on the bottom of page Lamed Gimel. And he says that according to the Rambam, the Lav is Chemda. If that Chemda leads him to such a Ishtadlus until finally the guy says Rotzani, so then that Chemda generates an Avera of Lo Sachmod. Now let's just think, according to the Rambam, would he be Posel Yedus? So it's a Lav She'ein Bo Maisa. Ah, so it's according to the Rambam, if Lo Sachmod is a Lav She'ein Bo Maisa, as I was screaming and yelling before like a madman, then it would not generate a psul of Russia. And therefore the Chamson in our Gemara is only possible to Rabbanan. Everything is glat. And if you'll tell me, well, the Rambam has a psul called Eid Chamas, but that only applies to a Gazlan who illegitimately takes the object of someone else. But here, according to the Rambam in Lo Sachmod, since the guy said, the Mocher said, Rosani, so then the Mekach is Kayam, if you take a look on the top of page Lamed Dalet. Yonatan,
Yeah. Can
you let us know when you're ready for Ma'ariv? Or if you need us for a minion, v'hinei Tosus kosvu shim amar rotzani lo over belav lo sachma. Meaning Tosus holds like the Ravid, which means that what? That in the Rambam scenario where the mechira is chal, it's valid because the mocha said rotzani doesn't violate lo sachma. And according to the Ravid, it's exela kalocha that he had no right to take the object. The avera is the netilas sachefetz. In Kain Avi Lav Shiyesh Bo Maisa, fine. Chaktein Lokin Al Lav Zemishum Shenitan L'Tashlum. And he has to return the object. According to the Ravid, it was never a valid sale. V'kevin Avi Avera. Oh, Shiyesh Bo Malkus. Oh, that means he's going with the Tumim. Right, the Tumim holds that Nitan L'Tashlum is considered an Avera Shiyesh Bo Malkus. Because like you said before, Yonatan, if he refuses to return the object, then he should get Malkus for that. Is then we understand Tosus's kasha that he should be possible with the Raisa because he's a Rasha, and the reason is because it's an Avera Sheyesh Bo Malkus. So let's just think. According to the Rambam Shita, that Lo Sachmod is Chemdas Halev, it's Ein Bo Maisa, therefore there's no Psul Doraisa in the case of a Chamson, and we understand that Gemara very well. Everything is smooth. According to Tosus, if he holds like the Ravid, that the Chamson illegitimately took the object, it's a Lav Sheish Bo Maisa, and the only reason you don't get Malkus is because it's Nitan L'Tashlumin, then Tosus says he should be Psul Doraisa. Why? Because Nital Tashlumit does not really remove the Malkus. It just says to him he has the option of returning the object, but if he doesn't return the object and he refuses to, he'll get Malkus. And that's the Tumim, that such a case of a Lavsha Nital Tashlumit does generate a Pseudo-Raisa of Russia. And Memela, we understand that Tosus is very bothered. So right now, just to summarize everything we have the Rambam Shita. The Rambam would say that a Lo Sachmod violation does not passel you for Eidus. And why would the Rambam say so? Because the Lav Shein Bo Maisa, because the Rambam defines the Lav of Lo Sachmod as what? Everybody. Chemdas Halev. That wasn't everybody, but it was somebody. So we have one person who knew that what the Rambam Shita is, that the Rambam identifies Lo Sachmod as Chemdas Halev, which makes it into a Lav Shein Bo Maisa. And for a Lav Shein Bo Maisa, there's no Psul Rasha, according to the Rambam, because there's no Malkus. Yeah. However, if we go with the Ravid Shita, the Dafka would be Malkus for the violation of Los Sakma, because according to the Ravid, there is a Maisa. And what is the Ravid's understanding of Los Sakma? The sale is not valid because the Mocher never said the words Rotzani. According to the Rambam, he's chayav chem salev if and when the Mocher says Rotzani. But the Ravid says just the opposite. If the Mocher says Rotzali, that's not Chem Desalev, because the Iser is not Chem Desalev. The Iser is the invalid Kenyan. The Iser is Netilas HaChefetz She'en Lo Rishuspo. And he has to return that Chefetz. That's called Olav She'esh Bo Malkus. And therefore there's a Psul Rasha. If we assume that Tosus accepts the Shitas HaRavid, then we understand full well why Tosus insists that a Chamzon, who illegitimately takes the object, because the Mocher never said the magic words Rotzani, is possibly a distoraisa. Hence, Tosfos is stuck with the kasha. Why does the Gemara insist that a Chamzon is only a psul derabbana? And to answer that question, we don't know. Tosfos says, well, since he paid domin, he thinks and he fools himself that he didn't violate the law, so he's not a real deliberate rasha.
But didn't we say at the beginning that Tosfos doesn't care if it's locking or unlocking, other than a Rambam? Who said at the beginning with the
shear? Yeah, that's one approach.
Oh, okay.
But we're offering a second approach where even if Tosfos agrees Malkus, if Lo Sachmod, as the Ravid defines it, is a Lav Sheyesh Bo Maisa, then basically gets Malkus. It won't get Malkus because of the Tashlumin, but if he refuses to return the object, then he will get Malkus. Yeah. And that's based on a sugya of Kimo Velo Kimo, Bitlo Velo Bitlo. Okay, Rabosai, so we'll stop here. If there's a minion for Meir, I'll be the happiest guy. I don't know. How many people in this room could stay for Meir?
I can stay.
We're six people already.
We're six. Seven, Jonathan, stay. You're number seven?
We're not.
Oh, there are two more. So we're missing
four.
One person.
Four.
What?
That's good. We only need one person.
One person. How do we get that one person? I don't know. We have to clone somebody.